All right. Good evening, my friends. I am videoing all the way from an exotic location known as the Gush Shalom's Major Beit Midrash. So, what was that, Erwin?
I've had to get out.
All right, we got a lot of background noise. Let me just help you guys out so you don't have to struggle to find it yourselves. There we go. All right. And if you have any questions, just unmute. I'm sure you guys, after 3 years of since COVID, it's I'm sure you figured it out by now. Okay, so we are in Zion Amud Beis. We are on 7B, and we are about a quarter way down at the words "Ushechamasa Meruba Mitzilasa Psula," which is a quotation from our Mishnah. So I would imagine if you're using the art scroll, it probably makes it very clear that it's a new section. So here we go. It said in the Mishnah, that when there is more sunlight than there is shade being provided by the schach of a sukkah, it is, well, as we said, a sukkah is kare al shem schach. Well, you look at the root of the word, and if you don't have enough schach, then by definition, you do not have a sukkah. So, again, just for those joining us, we are a quarter way down 7B, Zion Beis. Tana Rabbanan, chamasa machmas. So, what needs to be shielding us from the sun? There needs to be enough shade provided by the sky. But it's not shot, not that the walls need to protect us from the sunlight coming in. And that makes sense because you remember all these Gemaras we're learning about in terms of good asik and all these different fancy maneuvers that allow us to have many gaps in our sukkah, it wouldn't really make any sense otherwise. However, this is quite the shita. Rabbi Yoshi over there, af machmas defanos. Even if the walls do not provide a sufficient amount of shade, that would be cause to invalidate the sukkah. Where Rav Yoshi get this really way out there idea that not only does the schach have to protect you from the sun, but the walls need to protect you from the sun. That the paroches would provide coverage over the aron. Wait, so paroches mechitzahi. Isn't the paroches just a vertical partition? So what's it doing being treated like a ceiling? Because Kari Rachman is schach and God is calling it schach. Alma mechitza kischach. We see from here that the laws of the roof and the laws of the walls are supposed to be analogous. So that means, Rav Yoshia says, just like the schach needs to prevent a sufficient amount of sun from getting in the sukkah, so too the walls need to do the same function. Whereas, the Rabbanon, they don't make much of the fact that the Torah uses the language visakosa to describe the parochas, because the parochas leans a little bit over. It leans a little bit over, and that's why it uses that language. But we're not supposed to infer from here that the walls need to share the same dinim as the schach. And if you glance for a moment at Tosfos, so it's a little further down, just down the Amud. So it's the third Tosos on the Amud. It's a small one. You may recall that two Shiurim ago, on Vav Amud Beis, we were trying to determine where do we get the idea that a sukkah only requires two walls and a tefach, or three walls and a tefach. I remember we were learning from Basukos, that it mentions it three times, and that's how we were deriving it. So isn't that kind of a funny thing Tosa says? Because we're deriving from the extra mentioning of Sukos, which is Schach, the number of walls that we're supposed to have. So that would suggest that Schach and walls are supposed to share the same dinim. However, Tosa says, so There's not much to make of it. We're just learning from the extraneous, seemingly gratuitous use of the word basukos, but one should not infer from there that sukos and tefanos share the same laws. Because how do I know this? Because nobody holds that your sukkah needs to be made out of the same material as schach. As we'll learn later on, there's a schach going to be made out of certain materials. And so we don't have such limitations on the material that we can use for our wools. Our wools don't need to grow from the ground. Our wools can be made from whatever synthetic material you want. It can even be made, we talked about a case, it can be made of human beings standing still and forming a wall as well. Remember we had that case, we talked about, it was a Chashuk Echemen, he brought it up. What happens if they make a sukkah by all standing in a formation before Shabbos, and then one leaves on Shabbos? Is that an Isser like the Soser of breaking down the sukkah on Shabbos? So clearly, even according to Rav Yoshia, it would seem that there's certain limitations on how far we are willing to go with this idea that the tefanos, the walls, share the same dinim as the schach. Now, I'm not looking at my phone because I'm checking Facebook, but I was schlepping a lot of stuff to the shul, my Gemara, other Sfarim, Shtender, whatever. So I didn't want to carry my Kovitz Mefarsha Mecha Shlomo with me. So I just took photos of the sources so I could refer to it on my phone. So the Minchas Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, makes a few observations here. Observation number one, he says, Rabbi Yoshia, Lo Savar Rabbi Shimon, the Omar Divina Gimel Machitzas or Vias Tefach, a silver to Sagines of Kinsical Chosses, Shishis Tefach, Yesha I him Machamash of Osam Bains Ruchos, Aprutz, and Starfus of Soul, the Tachi Shrak Hashnaim Kilchosses, Shishis Tefach, Sri Leos, Sales Ruch Hamasas. So, this is the issue that we hinted to before, we alluded to this, that remember, what's the shear for a sukkah? Two walls and a tefach. So, that doesn't leave you a lot of wiggle room, because two walls and a tefach, you know, what happens if you have like a few punctures within those two walls? Not enough that it would invalidate the walls on their own, but then now there's too much sunlight in the sukkah. You know, like how do we square the idea of Rav Yoshia that the walls need to protect you from the sun getting in the sukkah? Meanwhile, you can have a sukkah that's like 53% closed and then, you know, almost halfway open. So how do we square that, he says. The other point he brings up is Ukmokane, Histapakti Rabbi Yoshia Bamachita Shah Sarat Mahabulvan. Same issue. Remember we said what's the minimum, we spent a lot of time on this. What's the minimum shear, the minimum height for the walls of the sukkah? Just 10 tvachim. That's it. 10 hand breaths. So you're telling me that 10 tvachim will be sufficient to stop the sunlight from getting in the sukkah? That's a joke. So how do we screw Rabbi Yoshia with that? Does Rabbi Yoshia say 10 tvachim is not sufficient? And then finally, interesting idea based on the Maharshal. Based on the Maharshal, interesting. I don't see he mentioned Tosas here, but he's quoting from Tosas. Okay. Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense, actually. Never mind. Oh, he's on Tosas. Okay, that makes more sense chronologically. So the Maharshal says, the Sever Shemashir of Yoshi Agam Machitza She'ena Mipsos Gorom V'yakev, He Machitza Shos Chuchis, but then the question is, what if the walls are nice sturdy walls, but they're made out of glass? They're made out of transparent material. So on the one hand, they'll protect you from the elements. They'll protect you from the rain, from the wind. But on the other hand, they are not protecting you from the sunlight. So would that be a problem according to Rav Yoshia? Seemingly it could be. It's an interesting question, you know, in Hilchos Beis HaKnesset, right? Let's say you're like a really modern Orthodox synagogue and you don't like the fact that you have a mechitza and you want to do everything in your power to make it seem as if there's no mechitza there, right? We never heard of such a thing. So then what you could do is, you know, like say, oh, well, what if I made the glat, but the mechitza out of transparent material? That way it feels like there's no mechitza there. So would that accomplish it? I haven't seen anyone raise this. I wouldn't be surprised if someone did. If the whole point of mechitza is not to block eyesight, but to just create a barrier, to create a separation, then it is technically still creating a barrier. So it's an interesting suggestion. But don't tell the building or ritual committee that I thought it is, okay? This is just for academic purposes. All right. back to the Gemara. Back to the Gemara Bosai. Okay. So that was the first. The next thing we're going to deal with is we're going to have a really interesting series of opinions that are quoted. Here we go. Amar Abai, Revi, Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel, Ube Shammai, Rabbi Eliezer, V'Acherim, which I believe refers to Rabbi Meir. There's a discussion of why he's called Acherim. Maybe he got, because he learned from Acher, from Elisha ben Avuya. So Chazal kind of didn't want to reward him completely by from learning from a heretic. His Rebbe became a heretic. So they called him Acherim. They don't quote him by name. So Acherim, Kulhu Svirluhu, Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan. They all hold that a Sukkah is a Diras Keva. There seems to be this fundamental tension between whether we treat a sukkah as a temporary dwelling or as a permanent dwelling. To what extent is it supposed to be temporary? And to what extent is it not supposed to be flimsy? But it's right, because as we said, you know, like a sukkah does have minimal dimensions. So it needs to be a structure, but how far do we go? So all of these different, wonderful, excellent rabbis that Abai is quoting, we're going to see momentarily that each of them in their own way appear to subscribe to the idea that a sukkah should be viewed as a diras keva, as an
established
structure. And we're going
to start
going through this entire list.
Number Rabbi, one. I have a question. Why would they think that it's a teva, I mean, not a temporary?
I'm so glad you asked, Phyllis, because that's the Pnei Yeshua I was going to share. So I'll share it with you now. All right. See, I arranged this with Phyllis beforehand that she should ask the precise question I needed to ask. So this is the question of the Pnei Yeshua. What is the basis of the disagreement between
I couldn't hear what you said. I
look as a diras keva versus a diras arai.
But why? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't hear you. You were cutting out.
This is what the Pnei Yeshua suggests. Here we go. The Pnei Yeshua. Oh, great. Someone has their lawnmower right here. Okay. Okay. But Iker Plukta de Tanai, Idiras Keva Va'inan, Odiras Arai Va'inan. Regarding this fundamental machlokus about whether a sukkah is an established or temporary dwelling, nearly. They are both arguing how to interpret a single pasuk. We see the idea that sukkah is supposed to be for 7 days is mentioned multiple times. So what do we make of the fact? It sounds like the Torah is trying to drill it. It's trying to drill it into our heads that a sukkah is meant for 7 days. But what do I do with this idea that it's meant for 7 days? So those who understand that the sukkah is a temporary dwelling understand that, well, it only needs to last for 7 days. That's what we're supposed to infer from there. However, Uman Damar Diras Keva, but those who hold it Diras Keva, you know, Savi Imcha, they read the 7 days the opposite way. The Shivas Yamim Hayushiyasos Al Kolponim Be'inyan Sheru'uya Lehiskayim Shivas Yamim Beli Shum Tikun. Without, what does it mean that it has to last 7 days? It's a chumrah. It means it has to last 7 days without requiring any maintenance, without requiring any screws to be tightened, without any adjustments. So they actually, they're looking at the same data, but they're coming to a different conclusion that it's the most we see from the words Shivas Yamim that it needs to last Shivas Yamim without me having to do anything once Yom Tov starts, even on Chol HaMoed. Okay? So hopefully that answers your question, Phyllis. That's the basis of their disagreement according to the Pnei Yehoshua. Okay. Back into the Gemara. Okay. Get ready, guys. Buckle up. There's going to be, I think, if I count correctly, eight different manifestations of how a sukkah appears to be a diras keva according to all of them. Rebbe, the tiny Rebbe of our culture, Shiva Arba Amos Arba Amos Psua. Rebbe says the minimum dimension of a sukkah is 4 by 4 Amos. That's a little bit more substantive. Rebbe Yoshia of the Amra. Now, the reason we brought this in is because Rebbe Yoshia isn't in that list. Rebbe Yoshia said it's not sufficient for the walls to enclose the sukkah, it needs to protect you from the sun as well. Number three, Rebbe Yehuda Tetanan. Sukkah Shikabal Amalech Obama Psua. Rebbe Yehuda Mashir. This is our Mishnah. Rabbi Huda is the one who holds that a sukkah can exceed 20 amos. That means a sukkah could be a diras keva. Number four, Rabbi Shimon, Titania, Beiskel Chosim, Gimel Avil Tepach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gimel Kel Chosim, Gimel Avil Tepach. Rabbi Shimon was what we learned, I believe, last week. Rabbi, was last week? Whatever it was, Rabbi Shimon was the one who said that a sukkah is not enough for it to be two walls in a tepach. It needs to be three walls in a tepach. Again, that's a little bit more established. Number five, Rav Gamliel, the tiny house, Sukkos Barosh HaGolah, Barosh HaSfina. We'll get this later. So it makes their sukkah on a wagon or makes it on a boat, right? And I always love, everyone loves that one. That's like a Dr. Seuss, right? You can have it on a boat. You can have it on the camel, right? The whole, right? It feels like a Dr. Seuss book. And if you haven't heard that one, okay, you heard it here first. Rav Gamliel says that's not good. Why? Because it needs to be a DRS keva. It's not good enough just to put it on top of your Winnebago. Rabbi Akiva Mashir, but Rabbi Akiva was Mashir. Number six, if I'm counting correctly, Beis Shammai. It's not Misha Hayat Rosh Rabbah Besukah Shulchan Besuk Habayis. Beis Shammai posted Misil Mashir. This is amazing. Look at this. We're getting like a whole chazar of so many things that we've learned over the past number of weeks, and a few things that are coming up. So we're whetting our appetite. Remember this one? We learned it toward the beginning of our adventures through Masechet Sukkah. Machlokis, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. What happens if your sukkah cannot accommodate a table or doesn't have a table in it? So Beis Shammai said that it's not called a diras keva, right? It's not established enough if you can't fit a table in there as well. Number seven, Rabbi Eliezer, Ditznan. Ha'otza sukkaso k'min srit oshemet oshesamcha l'kosel. If you make your sukkah as a hut, there's different ways to understand what this refers to. One way is just, it's like a triangle. So the walls are also serving as the schach. That's not good enough, according to him. That's not a proper way to make a house. And also, certainly, with just one board, you basically lean it against your house and you make a right triangle out of it. That's not good enough either. Why? Because you need a proper structure. It needs to be a diras keva. And finally, number eight, acherim. Titania acherim rem sukkah so yishubach psula lefisha ein la zavios. That the this opinion of, that's called a brisa is that if you make your sukkah in a circular fat as a circle, that would not be good either because that again is not considered. It doesn't have any corners. That's not considered a proper established structure. Okay, so we saw eight different opinions about what it means to have a diras keva. Now, very important to note, if you look in Tosos, the fourth one, kulus filus sukkah diras keva bina, just because all eight of these manda amrim hold that a sukkah is a diras keva doesn't mean they're all in agreement with each other about how the diras keva facet of the sukkah is supposed to manifest itself. How do I know that? Tosa says, Al Karchach Einan Shavin, Taha Rebbe Boy Dalit Amos, because we quote both Rebbe and Beis Shammai. Rebbe says the sukkah needs to be Dalit al Dalit Amos, 4 by 4 Amos, Lo Beis Shammai signed with the Rosh Rebbe Shulchano. Whereas according to Beis Shammai, it needs to be only Rosh Rebbe Shulchano, which is 7 Tfachim. So both Beis Shammai and Rebbe both hold the sukkah needs to be a diras keva, but they just disagree on what that threshold is to render a diras keva. So just because all of these man d'amrim in one way or another believe that a sukkah is a diras keva, it doesn't mean they're all in agreement in how a sukkah is meant to express that via stika nature to it, the established nature of it. Does that make sense? Okay, very good. Now there is a question that is raised by Tosos. And this question I'm going to raise with Tosos here brings us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, going all the way back to Beis HaMelech. Okay, hold on tight for this one, guys. Doing a little bit of time traveling here. Remember, back in the day, when we started Masechta Sukkah on Beis HaMelech, we learned the classic machlokas in the Mishnah between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda about whether a sukkah could be built over 20 amos. And we had three opinions in the Gemara about why above 20 amos would be problematic. And the third framework suggested in the Gemara by Rava was that the Chachamim hold that a sukkah is a diras arai, a temporary dwelling. Therefore, if you build it over 20, that would no longer be a diras arai, be a diras keva. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, a sukkah is a diras keva, and therefore, it can be built over 20 amos. I got a bit, and who challenged Rav over there? Well, of course, it was Abai. Abai said that's the faulty framework, right? Because then you can just make, according to that, why are you allowed to make walls of iron then, if it needs to be a diras arai? So Abai rejects Rava's framework of suggesting that the machlokes between Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda is whether a sukkah is a diras arai, diras keva. But you know what the issue is? If you look in this Gemara over here on Zayin Amid Beis, who is the great rabbinic sage who tells us that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah is a diras keva because it can be built over 20 amos? That's Abaye. That means, by inference, if Abai is telling me that the reason Rabbi Yehuda holds a sukkah can be built over 20 amos is because it's a diras keva, that would mean to say that the Rabban hold it can't be built over 20 amos because it's a diras arai. And that is the shita of Rava that Abai went to such lengths to reject all the way on Beis HaMelech. So what is going on with Abai over here? That's the question. We hear the question. I'm happy to clarify. Okay, what happened? What happened with Abai? So, if we turn to the Baal Ma'or, on the Dape Harif, the Baal Ma'or says, "Ein hachinami." You know what? Abaye, between Beis and Aleph and Zayin and Beis, Abaye had a change of heart. Abaye concedes to Rava. And now you might ask, wait a minute, but what about the other Manda Amrim? What about Rab? What about who was it? It was I should look at Rabbi Zera, and who was the other one? Rabbi Zera and Rava. Rav and Rabbi Zera, okay? Rav and Rabbi Zera said, why do we not explain the Mishnah's machlokis like Rava? Because of the kash of Abaye. So he says, Kevin to Eshkachan Leila, Abaye Gufay to have a Mari de Kushya. Abaye was the master of the kasha. He was the one who was leading the fight against Rava's framework. And he is willing to concede to cabling the time to Rava, Kidam Rinan, Hilkach to Rava Adif, Va'ala Samchinan. So we see from here that he was willing to accept that Rava was right. It must mean that everyone gets in line with Rava. Now, if you look in the Hasagot Ravid on the Ramah, the Ravid who's arguing, sorry, not the Ramah, with the Baal Ma'or, the Ravid says, no, Abai is not necessarily conceding that the Rabbanan hold that a sukkah is a diras arai. He holds that Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah is a diras keva, and the Chachamim also hold that a sukkah is a diras keva. So then why didn't Abai count the Rabbanan among the other Shitos that hold that a sukkah is a diras keva? There must have been some mystery reason that the Rabbanan must have had another reason why they held that a sukkah above 20 amos is possible, which either according to Rava or Rabbi Zera. So there's a machlokas, the Baal Ma'or and the Ravid, about whether we should read this Gemara as a Abaye conceding to Rava. But you know what I found, which is the What I thought was like the most wackiest is not the most reverent way to say it. What I found is like the most jarring explanation I saw, and just like fascinating because, I mean, this isn't my area of expertise, but for academics who focus on the formation of how the Gemara over the ages, how the Gemara is compiled, this is a very fascinating point from the Ritva. The Ritva says, right, and I scanned it onto my phone beforehand, so I didn't have to carry the Kovetz Mefarshim with me. Maybe one day we'll get a set of Ritva here in the base medrash. That'd be wonderful. Elamishum de Talmuda mashmali de plukta de hamasnisa nami besukas diras keva kukinta de rava naka hamasnisa lashma ina de hilchasa karava da ha piruka de Talmuda hu vela piruka de abayihu. So, you know, there's other examples, by the way, and Tosus points this out as well. There's other examples of where Rabbi Yehuda expresses that a sukkah is a diras keva. For instance, Tosu quotes. Let me turn back to Tosus over here. Tosus on our Amud, Dirash Tulder quotes from Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Bey. I mean, who is coming? There were sukkah diras keva beina. Well, basically, just look over there. The case is that someone who is sleeping, and then there's another bed on top of him, interposing between him and the schach, Rabbi Yehuda says he's still considered to be dwelling under the schach because you're not going to have, I think it's an ohel arai, you're not going to have like this bed come and nullify the diras keva, the ohel keva that is over him. So that actually was a bayis proof. But the Gemara didn't want to use a bayis actual proof. The Gemara rather wanted to use our Mishnah as the proof that Rabbi Yehuda holds Diras Keva, because the Gemara wanted to make a point that it disagreed with Abaye and it actually held in accordance with Rabbah. So that just like, wow, that's what the Ritva says. There's no indication from that. It sounds like these are Abaye's words, but actually the Gemara is giving a different source than Abaye would have given to make the point that we paskin like Rava, even though Abaye did not concede to Rava himself. So my head was spinning when I saw this Ritva. Okay. Let's leave it at that. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up that question. Let's go back to the future, back to Zion and my base. Okay. What do you know, guys? We're up to our final section in the Gemara for tonight. A most exciting part of the Gemara. Rabosai, this has been the sugya in the Gemara that I have been in trembling fear since we embarked on our journey through Maseches Sukkah. In fact, I was thinking about dispensing with doing Maseches Sukkah altogether because I was scared of Chesam et Al. But you know what, guys? I need to overcome my fears. You're a very supportive group. I know you're going to help me with this. This is the famous, or if you're like me, the infamous mathematics sugya that comes up in Maseches Sukkah that deals with pi, and even Tosos has all these lovely pictures in there, which you'd look at it for a moment, like, ooh, pretty pictures. And then you realize whenever the Gemara needs to give you all these advanced pictures, it's because it's not something easy to understand. Okay, so anyway, with that introduction, we're not going to go through Chesam Na'af right now because we only do an Amud a week, but we will begin the mathematics sugya. We'll dip our toes into it to get our feet wet and get onto the top of Chesam Na'af. And then between now and next week, I will crack my head over all these complex mathematical equations, which I'm sure it's not as complex, don't worry. And we'll have a lot of fun with this Torah Mada moment. Okay, without any further ado, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we're at the line right above, the last regular line before it gets shorter, where the circle is. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sukkah Hasuya Kekivshan. So the Sukkah, it's made in a circle, like an oven. It's made, you know, like those circles where they take the lafa or lafa, whatever the bread they stick into the side. I believe that's what it's referring to. So it's basically in a circle. Here's basically going to be the issue. You see, the dimensions of a sukkah is 7 by 7 tefachim. That generally assumes that you have a clearly defined width and length dimension. But here, with the circle, this is going to be the part, this is going to be what's troubling the Gemara, is what do I do when I don't have a clearly defined, north, east, west, south to, I don't have clear coordinates. So how do I measure 7 by 7 tefachim when doing this? The fact we're about to see is, we're going to be going according to Shitas Rebbe, that's Dalet al Dalet on this. So let's jump into it. In Yesh Behakefa Kedeleshi Bachop Dalabne Adam Kishera Bimlav Psula. If there's enough room in this circular sukkah to seat 24 men, it is a kosher sukkah. So Kiman, obviously, it doesn't need to be 7 by 7 tefachim. It needs to be more than that because 7 by 7 tefachim is generally assumed to accommodate like one person and their table. So we're going according to the Shita, and it needs to be dalal dalad amos. Kiman, karevi, damar kol sekeshebat arba amos, psula. Okay, so now, but even according to the Shita, that a sukkah needs to be only 4 by 4 amos, 24 men still sounds excessive. That still sounds like much more than a 4 by 4 amos sukkah could accommodate, even on a good day. So michti, let's calculate this. Gavra ba masa yasin. We assume that each individual requires an amma of space. Okay, so 6 tvachim. Bechol sheyesh behakefo shlosha tvachim, yesh bo rochev tefach. So any time, this is, again, I know it's not so precise. I forget what the math is called over here. When the, so basically there's a 3-to-1 ratio between the circumference to the diameter of the circle, if I have my terminology correctly from my geometry days. Now, can anyone confirm, is it a 3-to-1 ratio or is it not, it's not quite precise on it? I forget. Is it actually a 3-to-1 ratio or is this an estimate, I believe, right? Okay. Any mathematics, mathematicians? All right, you guys will let me know. Okay. Because I know one of the big issues with this Gemara is that there's going to be some, I mean, the Gemara itself will admit that there's going to be some imprecise calculations. But for now, we're not there yet. We're getting Irwin. I know it's going to be your favorite Gemara, right? We start learning, low duck, we're almost there. Okay.
That's exactly.
What was that, Irwin?
You said it right.
Yeah, we're almost up to the ducks. Very good.
Hey, Rabbi, right. One question.
What?
Question?
Yeah, Lonnie.
So why are we even discussing a round oven as a sukkah when the Baraisa just above said that a chicken coop is invalid because it has no corners? Why even discuss a round sukkah?
Very good. So we saw, we quoted a Baraisa, which is according to Rabbi Meir, but it would seem that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't accept that. So we were giving a list of different opinions, but I don't believe the halacha, at least the assumption according to Rabbi Yochanan is that halacha is not in accordance with that. But you can see already by the fact that this entire Gemara is predicated on the assumption that a sukkah needs to be 4 amos by 4 amos, already throws into question the lemaisa ramifications of this Gemara about having a circular sukkah, right? So if you give me a moment, actually, I can quickly check. Actually, 1 second. Let's see. Generally, we get a citation in Mishpat near Mitzvah. So, we look in the Shulchan Aruch, or a Chaim, some tough Rishon Daf to the I can get you an answer. You give me 1 second. I'm in the Shul Beis Medrash here. It hasn't been moved in yet. I should do that. The Shulchan Aruch is immediately outside. So let me grab a Shulchan Aruch. Operation on the dial, and I'll get you your hands. Use a standard Mishnah Brewer here. All right, there we go. Tough Reish Lamed Dalet. Tough Reish Lamed Dalet. Sif base. Tough Reish Lamed Dalet, Sif base. imhi agula sarashiva kadei lereva shiva al shiva. So interesting, the Shulchan Aruch assumes that a circular sukkah would be kosher, but it only needs to be kosher enough that it, within it, you would be able to accommodate a 7x7 square sukkah. That's okay. What the Shulchan Aruch says. I am sure if we look in the Nosei Kalim here, there's more detail, but I'm just looking up the tip in the Shulchan Aruch. There's your answer, at least according to Shulchan Aruch. I wouldn't be surprised if Achronim suggest not doing a circular sukkah altogether, but maybe I should look into that. Okay.
What happened to the 24 men?
Okay, yeah, okay, good. So yeah, let's get back to Gemara. Okay. So Phyllis is like, what's going on with 24 men over here? So Michti, Gavra Bamasi Yasin. What a man just needs one amma of space. The chol sheyesh behakeif or shlosh b'vavim, yeshbo rokev tefah. Okay, and we know that there is a 3-to-1 ratio of the circumference to the diameter. So the trace are tahi, right? Is this what Phyllis is asking? Why do I need 24 men in a sukkah? I should only need 12 men to be able to fit 12 men, because each man is one amma. It's another, that means it's a 12 amma circumference, which means it's a 4 amma diameter. So why do I need 24 when I could suffice with half the amount with 12? So the Gemara continues, Hani mili bi'igula alva b'rivua b'itvei. This is true if all we were doing was measuring it as a circle. But even though there's nothing inherently wrong with having a circular structured sukkah, it needs to be, the issue is that the circle is missing the corners of the square. So if you look at that picture in your Gemara, which has a circle inside a square, you will see that the corners are cut off in a circle. The corners that would have been creating more space had it been in a box shape. So therefore, that's why you need more. But then the issue is, the Gemara goes on to say, Michti kamarva yosral eagle, Ravia, so Bishitzar Sagi. So still, that doesn't get us to 24. 16 men should be enough, and 16 would get us to the amount that we, the net amount of space that we need. So the Gemara is going to bounce back and forth. We'll pick it up, God willing, with this next time. So we're still left with the question. We start off with 12. We got to 16. How do we get to 24 from here? So I'll have to... I have to leave you on your, on a cliffhanger. That way you have some reason to come back next week. okay, wonderful learning together.
Well, you can put me in.
I worked out for many of you. Yeah, Phyllis, you had a question?
You could put 3 in each corner, not just 1.
3 in each corner.
Yeah.
Assumption here.
12 around and then 3 in each corner.
All right, you're beyond me. I just want to understand just basic Sean and Gemara.
Okay.
I'm gonna ask you all next week. I'm like, I'm not gonna prepare anything fancy. I'm just gonna like explain Pashup Shot math, and I'm gonna call it a day. You're gonna have to just excuse me on that.
Well, a triangle has 3 sides, so
that's already beyond me, Phyllis. All right. We'll discuss more next time. All right. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. I got to head down to Minnesota.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.